I'm Marco Werman. This is The World, a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH Boston. Iran holds its presidential election at the end of the week, and the country is at the height of election season drama, Iran-style. The World's Laura Lynch is in the capital, Tehran. And Laura, we're going to hear a report from you in a moment, but first, what's the atmosphere there like? It sounds pretty energetic.
It is. It's really charged. At times in the last couple of days, it seemed like the whole city has become one giant rally zone. People are out on the streets everywhere, both for the main opposition candidate, Mir Hossein Mousavi, and also for President Ahmadinejad. And sometimes they are coming to blows, literally. There are clashes late at night because they are carrying these protests on into the night. But for the most part, Marco, they've actually been rather peaceful, even though they have been very loud and very energetic. And that gives you some idea of the fact that people are not just excited about this whole process, that they're also respectful of the process. That kind of attitude toward the way they're behaving in this election also spills over into the way they're treating the foreigners who are in town, like me.
Like how? How have you been treated?
Yesterday, this is an example. Yesterday, I was at a rally for President Ahmadinejad. It was huge, it was packed, and it was hot, and people's tempers could have been awfully short. And in fact, at one point, one man did come up to me, and it was clear from the way he was talking that he wasn't saying anything that was very nice to me, even though he was speaking in Farsi. Now, my interpreter told me what he was saying to me was that I was responsible for the plundering of India, and now I was moving into other countries to invade them and take their riches away. Now, obviously, he was referring to me as being emblematic of the whole of Western countries. What's interesting, though, is that as he was saying those things to me, other people who were around him were telling my interpreter to please don't tell me what he was saying, because they were embarrassed by the words that he was using, by what he was saying to me. They didn't want their country to be tarnished with the words that he was speaking to me. So, again, that gives you some indication that certainly the kinds of things that you might think are true about Iran and Iranians aren't always true when you get on the ground here and actually meet the people.
So, Laura, who are you focusing on today in your story?
What I'm looking at today is women and the role that women are playing in this election. And there's a particular reference to the wife of the main opposition candidate, Mr. Mousavi. And you'll hear as we get underway here that she actually had somewhat of a starring role in the rally that I attended today. They're on the front lines of this campaign. Thousands of women pouring into rallies like this one, eager to show their support for Mir Hossein Mousavi. For these mainly younger women, green is the new black. Many have replaced black chadors or headscarves with the green that is the trademark color of the campaign. When their candidate failed to show today, blaming traffic, Mousavi's increasingly high-profile wife didn't hesitate to step in. As people threw flowers onto the stage, Zahra Ranavard promised them a return to the ideals of the Islamic Revolution, but with a modern twist. 20-year-old Farzana takes that to mean greater rights for her and other women.
I'm here just that I want to be free, justice and nothing else. I'm a woman and I want to be free as a man.
Mousavi's wife has become the symbol for women who are using this election to fight for greater freedoms. Ranavard has appeared at her husband's side throughout the campaign. That in itself is unprecedented. And she's not been afraid to stand alone either. At a recent solo news conference, she called President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad a liar, spoke of her passion for her country, then faced questions from foreign reporters. Is she really Iran's Michelle Obama?
I am not Michelle Obama. I am Zahra Rahnavard, follower of Hazrat Zahra, salamu alayhi.
When I interviewed her later, she warmly shook my hand. All but her hands and face were covered in her embroidered black chador. She may dress in a conservative way, but Ranavard doesn't believe the government's morality watchdog should tell other women what to wear.
I am 100% against the morality police. There's no such thing in Islam or Islamic teachings. And Iranian women and young people are wise enough to choose to wear appropriate clothing on their own.
Don't you worry that by spending so much time criticizing Ahmadinejad and criticizing the way he's running this country, that you are playing into the hands of Western governments who have spent so much time criticizing Iran?
Why should I be worried? I don't have any expectations from anyone in those countries. I just want to defend Iran's interests.
Ranavard's pronouncements may mark a significant break for political discourse in Iran. But the fact is, most Iranians didn't even hear or see them. They weren't reported in the official state media. Politics in Iran is still very much a man's game. Though several women filed papers to run for president, they were all barred from becoming candidates. And some female activists who have worked for change have been jailed. In a park in Tehran built just 2 years ago, young girls' faces are a mix of joy and fear as they roar past on roller skates. This is a women-only park. They come in the gate, and within minutes, the headscarves and bulky clothes come off. 22-year-old Masi and her five friends pull out a blanket, some chips and Coke, and have a picnic in the shade. Their tops are skimpy and sparkly. Their hair cascades past their shoulders. Masi says she wants equality, but for her it's not about the clothes she wears. It's about getting a fair shake in the marketplace.
A scarf is not our problem in our country. Our people want to elect a person who can change our economy, problem of young people jobs.
Still, Masi worries she'll have a tough time getting a top job as a civil engineer when she graduates because she's a woman. So she, too, is voting for Mousavi. Political scientist Sadegh Zibakalan of Tehran University sees all the restlessness and all the passion in this election as a precursor to big changes.
I would have thought that political analysts, commentators, historians, experts on Iran cannot ignore what's happening in Iran today, and I think it would be a watershed of post-Islamic revolution history of Iran.
Most of the women at today's Mousavi rally were born well after the revolution and didn't experience life under the rule of the Shah. They, like many other young urban voters, are restless for change. That restlessness has translated into an unprecedented debate about the role of women in the world's only theocracy. But it may be debated endlessly. No matter who wins the election, hardline clerics still wield a great deal of power and will still make the rules that women have to live by. For The World, I'm Laura Lynch in Tehran.